Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Thank God for another day of being here, everybody. We've got another chance to gather up together. I want to thank Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York City, currently with iSoulRadio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 6 to 10 p.m., 7 to 10 p.m., and again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is gracing New York with the best of live R&B events as the CEO of that awesome company, Track One Entertainment. You can see what Barry's up to by visiting him on his Facebook page at BarryMason on Facebook.com or head right over to the Track One Entertainment website at track1entertainment.west.com and see what's on his calendar coming up soon. To my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yevers, wishing her a speedy recovery. To Monster Miles, to DJ Domer, to Lottie Williams. And last but not least, our awesome activist and panelist out in Toledo, Ohio, Deacon Zeddy Williams. To my On the Edge Listeners Lounge in the social media network over there, thank you guys for being such a wonderful backup group. To our sponsor tonight, Mr. Carl Tone Jones and his group, What About Us, to Patrick Irvine and the Urban Intellectuals Open Discussions Group, to Mark Pittman and the Black History Suppressed and Real World Black News and Discussions Group, Linda Miller and the Black Love and Conversations Group, and to Marvin Young with the Capitalist N Group. You guys have been phenomenal in assisting me with the pre-broadcast discussions and your own community contributions. Thank you all very much. All right. To my starting panelists, my favorite twins, Darlene and Arlene, to Patrick Irvine, Stella Jenkins, Altarik Atkins, Professor Carl Tone Jones, who did I miss? And Stalo. Thank you all. Oh, and Erica. Sorry, Erica, I'm not going to forget you at all. Thank you all very much for what you do on a nightly basis here. All right, tonight, everybody, we are going to be starting the first of a week-long domestic violence series. We're going to be touching on all aspects and subdivisions of the damages and effects of domestic violence. We're going to be discussing more than just the basics. Tonight we're going to be speaking on, we know what causes it, we know what causes some victims to stay, but why is it continuing? What is the missing factor here? What is it that we can do to step up and make this go away? So before we get started, you know how this works, going out with a little bit of a musical break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back right after this. So don't go away.
You are. I maybe one day you'll be.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now back with more On the Edge.
And we're back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. Discussion time. Tonight we are going to be discussing the first in our week-long domestic violence series. And tonight is part one, Stomping Out the Breeding Ground. All right, we are not going to waste any time speaking about the causes or the possibilities or the underlying factors about how domestic abuse or domestic violence gets started. We know this. We've heard it. We've got all the medical journals. We've seen all the community aspects and all of the possible environmental issues that come up. Tonight, we're going to talk about this. We know the facts. We've seen the actions. We have all of these new awareness groups in place, support groups in place. So why is domestic violence not coming under control? Why is it spreading? What's missing? What is it that we are not putting in to help stop this epidemic? And it's one of the things that actually is becoming as big a killer as some medical illnesses. But understand, domestic violence has way more than just physical damage. The damage of the spirits that are broken, the essence that's taken away, people losing themselves because of what their abusers have said to them, losing worth in themselves, doubting themselves, repeating cycles when they get older, having people lose trust for relationships, or losing self-worth and believing that all they're doomed to be is to have a person in their life that done what they either saw happen to a loved one, such as a parent, or someone that's done it to them for so long. How do we get to this? And there are many factors why abusers become abusers. And in the African-American community, quite a few extra factors always go down to whatever is extra. So what is the issue? Okay, well, I have an idea. We spoke about this just basis on our own social and community problems in the African-American community. And one of the things I believe is a problem is that community involvement has decreased. Everybody is closing their eyes to their own backyards. Everybody's looking out their window and taking note of the incident, but no one's stepping in anymore. We've lost those gentlemen that used to take these young fellows with the tempers or with the wrong idea of what it means to be a man in a relationship by controlling your wife or controlling your girl, where they used to sit and talk. We lost the sight of those people that would step in and have a problem with the man putting his hands on a woman. And nowadays, it's not just men abusing women. Women are abusers to men as well. I know a lot of you super macho guys out there are thinking, oh, yeah, right, then that guy's a punk. No. And understand that everybody, when you think about domestic violence, it's not just physical. There's intimidation, there's coercion, there's mind games, there's control, there's ways of these abusers making that person feel helpless. And this week, we are going to be speaking about all sub-factors of the effects of domestic violence. We're going to be going to everything from how the law fails victims and fails these abusers to get the help they need, because some of them are just really sick. We're going to talk about how the teens are affected because they're repeating the cycles when they're getting into these much younger relationships that turn out to be abusive. We're going to be speaking on quite a few other things this week. But tonight, what is the missing factor? And we're going to be speaking about the lack of community involvement as it pertains to why domestic violence is getting spread. So I see you, panelists, and I will be bringing you in to get the discussion moving. Community involvement is important. If you are in a neighborhood that has a small dead-end block and everybody gets together and everybody knows everybody's child and everybody knows everybody's spouse, knows everybody's home structure, we're all interactive. We all have that extra protection, that extra network. When something goes wrong with one, usually back in the day went wrong with everybody, and that doesn't happen anymore. Usually cops back in the day cared about the role that they played in the community. Now you can't count on that. Between cops going corrupt for certain races, which really is the Black American race, or cops doing their own thing undercover to get whatever it is that they're on. Please, you guys that are listening to me, if these shoes do not fit, do not wear them, because I'm not speaking to you guys that are out there that are doing your jobs and that do care about the community and that are making a difference. You guys are good. You're set. When we speak about these issues and we speak about the negativity, it's to those people contributing to the negative factors, and this is where we are trying to get solutions. So tonight here on this show, if you are a victim of domestic abuse, if you are an abuser and trying to get some help, give some insight as to what's going on. Ask what you need to ask, but get help, because children are affected. They're affected by what they see. There have been older children that have had to step in to defend against one parent or the other, which takes a toll on them. Either they're going to be completely messed up and repeat the cycle, or they're going to be completely messed up and don't know how to love or don't know how to accept love because all they've ever seen that was supposed to equate to love was abusive. They're not going to know who they can go to. They won't trust people who are supposed to be in place to help them through it. We have to do that. So I'm going to bring in our panelists this evening right now to get the show started. The number here is 347-327-9967. Press 1 if you want to talk to those of you that are new to the procedure. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air. Hello? Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we just have a little bit of a connection issue. So, excuse me on that one. Let's get down to some more other stuff. As I said, as a community, we need to come together. It's not just about closing your eyes anymore, because that abusive child, that child that's in an abusive relationship or is watching what happened, can act out what's going on in your child, and it's no longer not your problem. It's no longer just in your backyard. Now this is a problem that affects your backyard. This person could walk and be a person in society that winds up stalking somebody you love, dating a daughter or dating a son with the mindset of what they were taught. So what do? You older gentlemen that knew what it was like to love and cherish and respect your wives, you women that knew what it was to know how to be a partner in a relationship. You teach your daughter something. You teach your son something. When you don't have that now, we have this problem. If all of these organizations are in place, if all of these economic funds are being allotted to help things such as this type of a community issue, if these big wig boardroom political figures are sitting down and discussing how they're going to disperse all of these funds that's coming in to give to certain places that have this as a problem, then why is it the problem is getting bigger and not being contained? Why are our children becoming a big widespread faction in this group of abusers and abuse victims? Why aren't people aware anymore if these awareness groups are in place? And before I get moving, I do want to say thank you to a few very special people who are out there making that difference. Safe Horizon, a very long-term domestic violence victims advocacy group who are actually out there making moves and making some connections to help domestic violence victims get over what's going on with them, actually stand on their own 2 feet and remember who they are. I've had the pleasure of meeting one who actually took a little time to help me understand some things and understand what they do. And I want to say thank you to Safe Horizons Shanali, in the Queens branch in New York. Hardworking staff out there caring about people that's coming to them, not judging. And out there trying to make some help happen. So this is where we're at. Getting to the bottom of how you as a community member can get involved. First, before you start pointing a finger at the intensity of an incident that you witnessed, try to figure out what could be going on from both ends. Why is an abuser an abuser? I believe that at the time you're actually watching an incident, that wouldn't be the time to try to assess the situation. But giving some immediate help to something that's happening would be a first start. I see you, caller. I'll bring you in a minute. Would be a first start. So if you stop the instant problem, if you notice that it's the female doing it and you happen to be a woman who either went through it or witnessed it or knew better, offer your help, offer your expertise, offer what you can. You can never give anybody advice on something that you haven't lived or understood or went through. But doing it in a way where you're not seeming to be judging or you're not seeming to be pointing a finger or accusing, because that will only make the situation worse. But offer some help. It's not the time for you to turn your head and go. And, of course, if the person is out there acting like a mad person, you have to diffuse that situation and get to the bottom of stuff later. But community involvement is important to everybody, because these advocacy groups can only do something after something has happened. Maybe we should have prevention groups or prevention classes. Instead of the government getting involved in everybody's parental business, perhaps they can focus more on the community they're supposed to govern. And maybe as a community, that is something that we can band together and enforce happening. Those of you that have caught these abusers on a calm moment, as a man from the previous generation, offer what you can without making it seem like you guys are going to a bar and having a drink or something. There are so many things that we can do, but we're spending so much time thinking about all the things we can't. And for the African-American community, as we've been speaking about endlessly for the past year and some months, we don't have the luxury and that we can't afford to sit back and wait to see what happens next, or wait to see if this will work, or wait to see if it gets better the next time. Because not only is domestic abuse helping the people targeting us to get out of the way, helping them do that, because we're doing it to each other. But it's not helping us repair, restore, rejuvenate. It's not helping us reunite or reconnect with who we are. And it's not helping us do anything for progress. Let's bring our panelists in. Welcome to the show, Paul. You're on the air.
How are you doing, Katie?
Hey, Erica. Welcome to the show, darling.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Well, I'm going to ask you tonight's topic question, and I'm going to see where you are coming from. We're not going to be speaking tonight on the causes of domestic violence or why abusers become abusers or why victims stay. We know this. We've heard this in numerous different types of psychiatry journals, medical journals. But what I do want to know from you, what do you think is the reason why, with all of the newfound awareness groups, support networks, outlets, why do you think that domestic violence is becoming bigger and not more contained?
Because we live in a society, Katie, where we're not taught how to deal with our anger as kids. We're not taught how to control our anger. And being savages in our community gets praised. Look at World Star Hip Hop. They praise us being savages. They run video and, you know, and hoop and holler over people fighting like animals. So you can't let a beast go and then expect them to be tamed when they're under pressure. A beast is going to be a beast at all times if they're trained and taught to be a beast. You can't expect a lion to be out in the wild and hunt, and then when it comes around people, you put them in a zoo, and it gets around people, you expect it to know how to behave around people. No, if that lion has been in the wild all his life and hadn't been taught how to behave, then when it gets put in the zoo, then guess what? It's still going to behave as if it's in the wild. We do not teach one another how to deal with anger. We don't teach how to deal with temper tantrums when we're young. We allow this to go on, and when we become adults, when things don't go our way and things get out of control, the first thing we think to do is to let that anger out through violence.
You're absolutely correct, and as I was saying, I believe that also goes back now to us as a community really not stepping in anymore. You remember, we spoke about this, Erica, too, in the previous segment, how we had a village. And as much as everybody's hearing me say this over and over again, look at just how that one factor applies to almost every aspect of what's going wrong. Now, this is a society problem. Domestic violence on a whole is a society problem. But specific to the African Americans, domestic violence, you know, with us, for every one society problem that has factors and underlying causes, we have something extra to add to everything. So with us, like you said, the white media is portraying us as savages. Matter of fact, rap artists nowadays, you remember back in the day when there was any rap artists, hip-hop artists, whatever, when they came out with songs, it was positive messages addressing things like domestic violence but giving solutions for the bad scenarios and why it should be changed. That's not what happens now. Now they take what our generation did for awareness as something to celebrate and aspire to be. Nowadays, it's a big thing. The raunchier, the more violent sounding the lyrics are in these raps, the better a single it's going to be. You know, we're advocating calling women bitches and hoes. We're advocating talking about shooting somebody down in our lyrics. And then these guys don't stop to think that it might be just a stage gimmick to you, but somebody is really out there listening, and that's what they're going by. There's a perfect example. Eminem's, I think it was Stan, the song Stan, where this guy was a big fan of Eminem, according to the lyrics, and all of the songs that Eminem did as a clowning situation, this guy was taken seriously. And in the song, this particular person locked up his pregnant wife in the car, the trunk of their car, and drove to suicide with her in the trunk and him, because he got offended that Eminem on his tours wasn't answering his fan mail. So these are things that come through. And you know what? As a community, we don't sit there and go and have an outrage about things like that being presented. We're celebrating these kids being raunchy or rebellious. We're scandalizing African-American kids in the same field doing that type of stuff. And we are not standing up to say, yo, young brother, that's not the way you handle a girl. You don't fight with a girl. Yo, young sister, that's not the way you handle your problem. Because nowadays, it's not even men anymore that are just the abusers. Women are just as bad. So do you think our community involvement is an important factor as to why, or the lack thereof, I should say, is an important factor as to why, with everything in place to stop this or put a lid on it, is helping it spread? Erica, you with me? Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. I was gathering my thoughts. I do think the lack of community involvement definitely plays a role in it, because in the end, we grow up angry. We have a right to be angry. When you grow up and there's not enough food on the table and your mother's working two jobs that should support you just to make ends meet, you watching your mother struggle, if you have one, or even if your mom's not there and you're being raised by a relative, you grow up angry. You grow up wondering things such as, why my mother or father doesn't love me enough to raise me? Or where's my father as to the reason why my mom has to work two jobs? Or vice versa. All that anger is building up in a young child's life.
Right.
And it's not taken care of. And then one day it's like an atomic bomb and it explodes.
Absolutely.
So definitely, I'm going to preach this until they put me under the grave. Love. When you grow up with love, knowing you love, knowing you need it, and having a sense of who you are, you don't need those violent outbursts. Because even growing up, sometimes with thinking that you have love, sometimes if you don't know truly who you are, that will cause you to rebel and act out in certain ways. I remember, I think I was in the ninth grade, and I was, this guy was calling myself Cone, as the old people say. I guess he had a girlfriend prior to me, and he broke up with her and started seeing me. And I was at my best friend's house, and we were walking around, you know, how kids like to walk around outside. And this girl started walking behind me, following me. You know, she was just trying her best to fight me. But I didn't want to fight her. I didn't know her, and I didn't have anything against her. Well, eventually, since I wasn't, you know, taking the bait, she started hitting me. Just out of nowhere, just started hitting me. And, of course, we ended up fighting. And this girl was angry. She was in the eighth grade. I was in the ninth grade. My 10th grade year, her or 11th grade year, she came to me and apologized to me for it. And she told me I was doing everything in my power to fight you and you just ignored me to the point where I couldn't take it that I had to hit you. And she told me she was dealing with a lot and going through a lot. She was woman enough to tell me, well, girl, at that point in time, to tell me I had a lot going on through my life, in my life, and I was angry. And you were an easy target to take it out on. She said, because, you know, Erica, you weren't bothering nobody. And she did apologize to me. And that's how it is. Anger. Anger causes you to lash out on someone that you would take would be the easy target. Or someone that has joy that you want. So we need to teach. That would be the key to dealing with it. Teaching our kids. When you know a child is in a home and they're missing a parent, it's okay, black people that's listening, it's okay to get therapy. It's nothing bad about getting therapy. It's nothing bad about taking your kid to a therapist. That goes plays along with the bullying as well. A child that's a bully will grow up 9 times out of 10 and be in a relationship that's involved with domestic violence. Get help. Get the kids help when they're young. You can't look at a situation and say a grandmother have a child and there's neither one of the parents in the house and think their child is going to grow up okay. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But it's going to be misplaced anger there. Why don't mama want me? Why don't daddy want me? Nobody loves me. Let them talk about it. Stop letting these men think they're not macho if they can't cry. Because crying releases anger. If you tell a boy, don't cry, you're a man, you're a man. Where's all that build-up energy going? Allow kids, give kids an outlet, a way to release the anger healthy, a healthy way. And it's not how some people say, oh, when a child is angry, put them in sports, they'll release it. To me, that's still not good enough. Because at the end of the day, guess what? They got on their football field. They hit a couple of people. They get off that football field. Those problems are still there, and they still hadn't learned to deal with those problems. And we all know 9 times out of 10, the average black male isn't going pro. So telling them to hit up and beat up and all play sports and go boxing and doing this isn't teaching them how to deal with anger. It's teaching them how to release anger, which is totally different from dealing with anger.
You know what, Erica, it's funny, like everything you mentioned, my next question was going to be, or actually my next statement was going to be, it's time to identify what the breeding ground of domestic violence is. You mentioned so many examples. We spoke about the media. Nowadays, the media is, there's no more censorship. You remember when I Love Lucy and all those things came out, they never even showed a married couple sleeping in the same bed.
Mm-hmm.
TV went off at a certain time. There was no broadcasting after 3 a.m. I remember when the TV went blank until the sun came up, when they thought that people would be up getting ready to go to work or preparing their kids for school. And then at that time of morning, you got the news or cartoons or a prayer program. You didn't have all-night videos. You didn't have all-night sex movies. You didn't have, you know, all-night shoot-em-up movies. You didn't have movies like that. Now, one of the things is, that's one. Nowadays, we've got twice the breeding ground. It's not just anger anymore. Now we have economic issues that are being displayed on the air. Now you've got people sensationalizing joining the military. Now you've got people sensationalizing going out there to be, as we call, as I say all the time, our two options that are offered as black success. And you have athletes that all you see them doing is being in scandals and sometimes being bailed out and other times being the epitome of something to throw darts at. Okay, so we have that. You have now our males are definitely, like we said, being taken away. If it's not by a cop's bullet, it's by jail. If it's not by jail, it's by feminization. If it's not by feminization, it's by our black women being taught to emasculate our black males. Society on a whole that suffers with this problem. These girls are going out, coming out younger and younger in relationships that clearly their mind is not ready to accept the responsibility of a relationship or the work it takes to truly be in one. They're trying to hook up as early as 12. The government now is telling them you can go get pregnant and don't have to tell your parents a damn thing. So they feel they're grown. You got military people recruiting these unpopular teens as early as before they get out of high school, giving them the power to hold high-powered rifles with the intention of killing anything that's not American, that you don't know whether that person is just a child that's trying to get rice to go home in one of their little huts. You have parents trying to be their kids' friends. Like you said, we have men being taught not to cry, to handle your business. We have kids that have been raped by females, and the females are being looked at as the softer sex, so they couldn't possibly be criminal. And then, like you said, blacks are not taught how to deal with anger, and we're also not allowed or afforded any opportunities to reach out to anybody. We have no organizations. The organizations that have the word colored in it is run by somebody that's not of color. Let's allude to what just took place with the BET Awards. It's a black entertainment television awards, but yet there's white nominees in it using our music to get ahead. So what do we have in place? What are the breeding grounds? The breeding grounds are the people you're supposed to be able to go to get help, no longer available. Our black churches dried up. The media handling that financial carried on a stick. Our teachers no longer being a village because now they're pointing fingers or being part of the criminal process. Who do our kids turn to? You mentioned another example of the child that might be missing a parent or both parents being raised by a third-party relative, right? Okay, do you remember in our day we had something in school that we could fall back on when we couldn't relate to things in our home? We had arts. We had a program we were going to be in. We had some sort of enhanced and progressive sports activity. We had an art class. We had people that if you want to do this, you have to follow this rule. We had those extracurricular things that in addition to academic achievements, we had those things helping our children shape, build, and keep their character in place. They had a release. There's none of that anymore. Not to mention, there's nobody, like you said, it was easy for that girl to take her anger out on you because whatever she was going through at that time, the person she really wanted to take it out on was probably not available, probably the problem. So we have to identify the breeding ground and as a community step in and do what we have to do. Community is not just a person that's not related. It could be somebody that's intertwined with you as close as being directly next door to you. We have to stop pointing fingers at each other or trying to get into people's business so we could spread it and not help solve it. We have to stop thinking, oh, no, I'm not getting involved. I had somebody tell me today, when I ask, because I do ask the community about these topics and their opinions, and I had somebody tell me that one of the things they were taught by their father is you don't get involved with a couple's domestic dispute because women, and understand this is a father telling this to his son, women will stand by their man after it's over. Okay, that may be well and good, which would probably allude to some problems going on with that person. And it's not just women because some guys will stand there too. We have to start teaching these people that, listen, you know what? Sometimes having a body there just to stop you from being lonely or to say that you have a person in your life doesn't always amount to a real big prize at the end of it. Sometimes it is better for you to be alone until the right person comes along that can value you as the person that you are. If they hit you once, no matter how many sorries they give you, they'll never stop until they get the help they need for why they reacted that way in the first place. We have to stop letting the media portray domestic violence or men hitting women or women being tough thugs or whatever the case is as being something to glorify. We are battling a hell of a lot of different factors. And as something that you just said about the fight you had, she came back and apologized to you. Why? Because back in that day, the village teachings were there so that the fights we had back then, when they ended, they were over. Usually you either never spoke to the person again or you wind up 9 times out of 10 becoming friends and wondering how stupid the fight was and how we got there. Nowadays, if it happened in 2011, you're getting shot for it in 2014. The teachings about what honor means is so discombobulated. The measurements of manhood or what it means to be a strong woman is so discombobulated. We're all messed up. We don't know what it means to lean on your partner. We feel that we have to outshine them. Girls are believing that there's big-time stripes and the more rebellious against your parents you are, the more raunchy you are, the more daring you are in things is that take away your virtue. And we're not just speaking virginity or anything to that effect. We're talking about your overall character virtue. Who you're going to be when all the stupid phases of your teenhood goes away, when you grow up and actually realize, ooh, that was so stupid. Our children nowadays don't have that luxury. They're not living long enough to see that day when they can look back and say how stupid they were as teens. We had that option. Teen domestic violence abusers and victims are becoming just as large a group as adult people. That's a sad, sad fact. And it's one of the subdivisions of the effects of domestic violence that will be discussed this week. Domestic violence is becoming as big a killer as cancer. And here's the difference. Domestic violence doesn't just kill you physically from somebody being that abusive and that brutal in physical attacks. Once the scars heal up, there's other scars that's a lot harder to treat. You have people losing sight of their actual selves. You have people that even after it's over, and that's another sub-factor of this. You have people that once, even after it's over, the domestic violence doesn't go away. And I don't mean that they are repeating the fact. I mean that they are having those people years after separation still believing that they're entitled to them. The Lord now has gotten so confused in what exactly is the solution that what they put in place to help is actually now criminalizing these people. And I'm not talking about the ones that need to be in jail to get the message. I'm talking about those that are actually reaching out, trying to get help, but nobody has given them anything. So they're angry now with hopelessness. The breeding ground. The lack of the village, the lack of the community involvement, the lack of options and outlets, the media enhancing something we're trying to quell. It's like the media is the gasoline on a fire the firemen are spraying out. Our children are desensitized from respect from their parents. Our parents are stopped trying to be parents because everybody's so feeling full of hopelessness. Everybody is just done. We're all frustrated. Nobody's trying to see a hole behind the blocked entrance. Nobody's trying anymore. Nobody is being parents enough to say, hell no, you're 12. You're not talking about no girlfriend or no boyfriend. These advocacy groups, they're in there helping you, but they can only do something once somebody reports being a victim. How many of domestic violence victims are not even reporting what's happening? That is the problem. Erica, before, I know usually I do this in part two, but tell me, what do you think is something you think we can try to change, at least for now, to see where we can go and making a difference? Hello?
Yes, Kate, I'm here. I guess some of the things we could do again is just teach them how to deal with their anger. Teach them how to talk. We need to have support groups at school, even at a young age. Man, do you know I don't know if they still do them, but I know when I was in a kid, they had questionnaires that they would pass out in the classroom asking you how was your home environment? You know, grown folks called it them getting their business, but they would ask those questions. Like, how are you happy in your home? Are you being touched? Are you getting beat? The teachers used to look out for what child, you know, act out and ask the parent, hey, what's going on at home? You know, like you said, that bring back the village, all of that will come back.
Absolutely. You know what, Erica? They do still have those surveys and questionnaires. Cora, I see you there. I'll bring you in just a minute. They do have those questionnaires, but do you know where they're being held, at least in New York? Do you know where they're being handed out at and why they're being handed out? They're being handed out in medical emergency rooms. When they've triaged your kids or you now, they don't just ask you about your medical history. They ask you about your home. But they don't do it because they're trying to treat you for the better. They're doing it so that they could put it in a little system so that somebody could come to your home. And the first thing, you know what, that is another problem, I think, is part of the breeding ground. All of those people that you should be able to tell what's going on, they're not in there anymore, or at least that's not the reputation that they have for coming in to actually help. They are assuming that when you bring these people in, your family is going to be broken up, that you're going to be victimized again, the same way that the court system will put a rape victim on trial who's been through enough. They'll start tearing apart that person's sexual history. This is what the Lord does. I've been through it, and I didn't really get to discuss it, but the Lord is twisted. when I was when I had a order of protection out on my ex back in 08. There was several things that the family court judge did, and this is the thing that got me. I'm complaining about being in fear of my life or my safety or the safety of my children. So three things took place. First, they mandated, because children were involved, not that the children were being endangered. I was trying to block the danger from happening, okay? But they sent in social services to make sure everything was okay. Okay, well, then after that, when they finally could find this person, they didn't make him do anything that was going to help him get help, which is why I actually went through family court and not criminal court. I was figuring that they would force him to go through like a Alcoholic Anonymous or something as a mandatory something. That never happened. He laughed about it. He laughed about how the judge, who, by the way, the judge told me, Miss Barnett, the children need to see their father. And if you're afraid of him dealing with the children on their own, then he has to be supervised. And you're going to be the supervisor. So I'm a complaining victim about something that is endangering my life. And I'm forced to deal with the person I'm afraid of because you feel the children need to see their father before any type of help goes to this man. Before any type of accountability is put onto this man. That was number one. Then he was mandated to go see a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist was going through a divorce of his own and bitter about that and told my ex that I should be ashamed of myself for trying to bring his kids away from him. Never mind the fact that he was drinking himself into oblivion where the children were afraid. He was being a little too crazy with corporal punishment. He was reacting to things he's never done before in ways he's never done before. So that was the next thing. And then the ACS worker winds up having a little casual chat about the type of drinks that he drank and what type of gym that he goes to. That was the situation. So there's another part. These laws that are designed in place to be neutral and to advocate for the victim are actually making the victims feel like they're the problem. And I'm not talking about vindictive women that are out there just trying to know that they can back their lives to a very double standard society or old-fashioned society. I'm talking about people that are truly being in fear of their lives. And
we've always lived in a society where it was okay to blame the victim, especially when a victim was a woman. Look at how they treat rape in this country. Oh, your skirt was too short. You were being too flirtatious. We've always been a society where it was okay to blame the victim, because obviously no one's that cruel and low down that they would mistreat you. You had to do something to initiate it. You had to do something to egg it on.
Oh, I'm going to bring up another important factor in the breeding ground, but let's bring our other panelists in so they don't wait too long. Hang on one second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, how are you doing? This is Q. Nice to speak with you again.
Hi, welcome back. How are you?
Doing well.
Okay.
I wanted to see if I can help the conversation. This is my way of giving back on these type of topics. I used to be an abuser at 16 years old, so I always try to give people these insights to let them know why these things are continuing to happen and why they may never get fixed. My standpoint of a person, and you know, first of all, let me give you a lot of honor for trying to get that gentleman help or expecting that he would get help from what is labeled a family organization. But the reality is, based on what the other lady just said, far as short skirts and what have you, the reality is when men had control of children back in 1600s, 1700s, men went to court against men because women were not allowed in the court. Men saw that men were being unfair. And I say to people in discussions all the time, when will women go against women and bring back fairness the way men did? The reason I say that is because the short skirt thing came from no accountability, because ladies, unfortunately, especially women's groups, they would not hold people accountable that misused the system. See, to the second panelist's point, all that would go away if people would just make real stuff really accountable and fake stuff a prison charge. You can't. Right now, you have so many people that falsely misuse a system for their own human emotional get back, and there's no accountability. So that's why people are disingenuous. It's not saying that it's right, but when these groups stop blocking every bill to bring equality to that problem, it's going to continue. Now, here's the other thing. From my standpoint as a person trying to seek help, you go to these groups, nobody's really trying to help you. The thing they're telling you, you're evil, you're a man, you're evil. That's what I got out of it at 16. To the point where I had to go get some psych books and self-check myself. That's where I found out what a trigger was, and that's when I found out what this was, and that isn't what they're trying to teach these guys in these groups. So you're right. They're not trying to teach that particular guy from that family organization because they're only interested is in the pipeline of money. And let me say this last thing on what you said as the host. You're also right in that now, because you don't want to follow the money scam that we got going on, we don't see you as credible of dealing with. So we're going to make you feel a certain type of way because all you got to really do is roll with this money scam. It's not about helping. I think people need to get that out of their soul. It's not about balance. And when you ladies look at these women groups and how many bills they have fought against tooth and nail to bring equality to these systems, then you'll be like, what are our fellow sisters doing? It's not about equality no more. It's about getting a check, period.
Absolutely. And Q, first of all, let me say this, because very few men stepped forward and admit that they were ever in a position that you were. Okay, very few men. And what gets me is that one of the things that would actually be a huge difference is when people start having self-accountability. Okay, one of the things we will be discussing this weekend is about abusers after the fact, when their victim has left them, when they're done, that they finally realize that, you know, there's no other games to play or escape routes to take, that they have to face their role in it and still don't want to, how that becomes a problem. But I'm going to say this to you. I'm all for what you just said with regards to us women also having to make our women people accountable for the roles they play in being schematic with the system, with using that age-old women are soft flowers and need to be protected and aren't capable of doing things that they expect men to do. I am not one of those ladies that believe in something that a woman says is happening simply because it's a woman. It's clearly the woman is showing signs of deceit. That is all true. Everybody is involved with taking their part and doing their part. Everybody has a role. As I said in the beginning of the show, I believe that why domestic violence is still spreading is because community involvement, as we knew it, is no longer. Everybody's got their head in their own little gardens, which is all full of weeds, but yet they're trying to talk about their neighbor's green grass or lack thereof.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, you know, I would also be interested if the other panelist disagrees with anything that I said, but I will also say this. I come forward because I think it helps. There was a gentleman I was helping years ago. He was beating his wife. And he talked for 20 minutes, and I didn't say a word because the first – my way of doing it is listen first to the point of exhaustion. Mm-hmm. And he was just so tired of talking, hearing himself repeat the same words. He said, "Are you listening to me?" I said, "Yes, I'm letting you get everything off your chest. I'm not trying to interrupt you, and I'm going to repeat the last few sentences you said." And I repeated it to him, and that gave him validation that I was listening to him. And he said, "So what does the Bible say about that?" I said, "I'm not going to tell you about the Bible. I'm going to fix your problem. Part of my thing is to shock people because I need for them to tune in to what I'm about to say next." And he said, "Fix my problem." "Okay, so go ahead, fix my problem." I said, "Okay, you're not hitting your wife because she won't shut up. And you're not hitting your wife because she won't do what you say. You're hitting your wife because you can't leave. You don't have the power of self to say, this isn't for me, I'm out. Because you've adopted to a philosophy that you want to blame her for. It's not her fault. She's another human being like everybody else. If you had the power to leave, you would say, hey, you know what? This ain't for me. I'm out. I'll take care of the kids. I got my lawyer game good. But as a powerless man, your only resort is to do something physical. It's like a dude talking to you and you disagree with him. You want to hit him. Y'all talking. Man ain't threatening you. Just disagree. So that's the problem with males or anybody, because women do abuse a lot. When I was working at a church, there was a lot of female abuse on deacons and stuff like that. And the guys just took it. And it was like ridiculous to me. But you do have those things. But I'd be interested in the other panelists' view, because I wanted to see if she disagreed with anything.
Yeah, Erica, you go. There is a panelist waiting. I see you there. I'll bring you in. And then there's something I want to bring up to you. So go ahead, Erica.
No, I don't disagree with anything, but I will say that a lot of it, as far as the money goes, it has to do with funding. And a lot of people with money, rich people, and we know they can be abusers as well, they don't want to pay taxes towards it. They don't want their tax dollars going to fund poor people because they can't have self-control.
Absolutely.
So when money is allotted, you know, it's one of those. Where programs do we need?
Okay.
Programs benefit, and we don't realize that. Hey, this is a very, very important program. Domestic violence, treating, helping domestic violence. That's something serious, but a lot of people don't. It's being serious.
Let me help you real quick. I'm going to let you finish, but it's not publicly funded. Those are your tax dollars that are being used by your city council and your city treasurer decide, and your state treasurer decide where those goes, and they go wherever the people force it to go. So those are not
publicly
funded, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People, a lot of people don't know things, but some people, I've heard people say, I've hung around, you know, a well-off white class group of people, and they would act a fool because the first thing they say is, I don't want my tax dollars going to public school. I have enough money to put my kids in private school. I send my kids to private school. So what do I look like paying for public school and I have to pay for private school? That's not where I want my money to go. So you have a group of people in a certain class that they don't want their money going to domestic violence organizations, and they stand out. These are the people that actually talk to the city council. They're buying the city councilman. They're saying, here, I'm going to cut you this check for X amount of dollars, but this is where I want you to do it. This is what I want you to do with these dollars once you get into office. I want you to put these programs and do these types of things, not fund poor underclass people projects.
You know what, Erica? And then Q, I want to address something that you said in your feedback, Erica. You know what? You're right, and that's another problem in the breeding ground. This classism crap. Understand, domestic violence touches everybody. Everybody, just because at this moment you weren't involved with a person that dealt with it doesn't mean that it's not going to touch you in some way. It could be your daughter. It could be your son that happened to. It's just like we spoke about when we were speaking about how all these people would rather shut down the damn government rather than allow Obamacare to spread over to poor people to get medical insurance. The whole thing of this is that you're living in your gadgets, you're living in your remote-controlled garage door openers, your high-definition TVs, and you're forgetting that if somebody with an illness who couldn't afford to be treated sneezes in your damn face, when you're hurrying over them in some public train terminal and you get sick, you're going to get sick. And there's no kind of high-class gadget that's going to prevent an airborne virus. Domestic violence can touch anybody. Just because some people choose to make it a well-kept secret doesn't mean it's not happening. So that's the stupidity in these laws and these people talking about where their dollars are going to go. And from what I'm understanding, once they tax you, Doesn't that tax money go into the public economy?
It does so go into the public. It does. But with that being said, that's where lobbying come in. Don't think it's just corporations that's lobbying. Corporations lobby on a federal larger scale level, but people who are making six figures, they lobby on a local scale. They'll pay,
right.
I'm going to donate X
right.
amount of money to your campaign with the stipulations of when you get in office, these are the things that we're going
to
see done in the community.
I want to touch on something that you said, Q, with regards to when you was counseling this young man. Now, what you said may have been a specific situation. I don't know what was going on in the man's life, marriage, relationship, or whatever. But there are abusers that are angry for other reasons. Now, I'll give you an example. There's a couple I know. This man grew up in a very different type of culture household where love and affection was not displayed with hugs and kisses and bonding with the child. Love was displayed by how much money was given back to them in clothing, in high-class sneakers and high-class gadgets. This was what they equated to mean love, to mean value, to mean bonding, to mean love and affection. Now, he got with a woman that was poor but grew up with love. No real financial, floodgate. But they were a loving family. And he actually told his wife that he was jealous of the fact that she hugged her sons because his culture did not believe that men can be soft like that. Okay, and one of the things that this wife always found kind of weird was that no matter how hard many men are, no matter how rough and tough as a criminal they could be the biggest cutthroat drug dealers, but when it came to their little girls, they were soft as hell. And the whole thing was he really envied that this mother and their son were able to hug, smile, that she allowed her son to cry and still showed him that he was strong in doing so. And it was a problem for him. And rather than say that because he was taught this machoism thing, it became a big rift. And he started to get angry with everything, called his son gay.
Let me share with you something that actually my take on it is all powerlessness. There's different versions of it. But it's all powerless. The situation you just described, minus the gay accusation, is my father and my relationship between my father and mother, who are still married 55 years, and he and I just had a disagreement a couple of days ago when I didn't want to buy into his childishness. So it's the same powerlessness, though, because the unfortunate thing with guys, when a guy doesn't have the wherewithal to rationalize adversity, let me say it again. When a person cannot rationalize adversity, they do the most emotional caveman thing they can do. Now, it's different for everybody, a gun, a fist, yelling, whatever. But for males, I'm just telling you my experience at it. For males, it's all powerlessness. Because if you had power of self, you would not need to focus on anything external to validate you, whether it's the wife, the kid, it doesn't matter. You should be able, I told this one guy, and it might sound harsh to ladies, but I speak to men where men live. I said to this one guy, I said, if you had any pride about yourself, you would go to your wife and say, you know what, really don't love you anymore. I'm going to go work a second job, whatever I got to do to get my lawyer game right. You're probably going to hit me over the head with a couple of things, so I'm going to do that too, and I'm going to take care of my kid, but I need to see my kid. We don't need to be arguing. I don't have time for it. I made the decision. I got with you, but it just isn't working for me, so I'm going to make this new decision and go do this and take the repercussions. And I said to him, you know why you're not going to do that? Because you don't want to take the repercussions. You want to feel a certain way, but you don't want to take the power necessary to make it happen. And that's why
I want to ask you a question. Because
that's
both times that you have spoken about having dealt with men, and I don't know if you're speaking about the same man, but both times that you have spoken about counseling men, it's been about you believing that they want to leave their wife. Not that they
Let me back up. What I tell people is at their word after they think about it. Because, see, here's the thing in psych, and this is just the way I take it for when I do it. When you tell me the sky is blue, I want you to walk on that. I want you to live on the fact that sky is blue. When you tell me the sky is purple, I want you to live on that. Now, if at any point in time you decide, you know what, the sky really ain't purple, fine, then don't tell the world that it's purple. Live what it is. Because, see, what I don't do for as men, that's why they kept requesting me so much. Even before I got certified, they kept requesting me. I don't waste time. I get to the core of your issue. And in psychology, innate behavior is what I gravitate toward. Animalistic behavior. If another lion comes and bites you, lion, you got two choices. Run away or deal with that lion, right? So this is why I try to get guys to understand. If you want to deal with your marriage, then you need to stop whining to me, to her, and you need to deal with it. But if you want to emotionally be upset because stuff ain't going your way and you want to hit somebody, then you need to make another choice. Because there's no reason to sit up here and you're not going to hit your boss in the mouth because your boss don't want you to do certain things. And that's how I used to rationalize it to men. I do it different from women because I grew up with five sisters. So with ladies, it requires a lot of integral things going on. With men, it's cut and dry. Dude, do you want to stay here? Is it beneficial to your life? Well, yeah, she's a good woman and she does. Fine. Write down on a piece of paper five things most important about your relationship. Write on a piece of paper five things not important. Now look at what you've written. Decide what's more important. Right here, right now. We don't need another session. We don't need a group session. Other people do that. I don't. Decide. And you got to get a dude to decide, you know what, stuff ain't really as bad as I thought it was. Then you need to go back and have a rational conversation and then have her come in also, and we'll do, and then that's when I'll do a session thing because I got to see what she's dealing with too, because sometimes she might be dealing with a family issue and, you know, it's trickling into the marriage or what have you. But you got to get these dudes to understand it's not about hitting and picking up guns. And, you know, I'll give you another personal example, just like me. I am paying for a child that is not mine, that I didn't even know existed, that DNA says is not mine. You know what I had to do? I had to go through my bank account being seized by the government without notice. I had to go through quite a few things. But in the end, you know what I'm doing? Working it out. Because the alternative is getting mad and doing something violent. Right, ladies?
Absolutely.
So I'm dealing with the adversity. Now, somebody may say, that's not right. And I don't have time for that mentality. I got to get it fixed, and I'll civilly sue the person later. That's my option, period. And that's what
that's,
I try to relate to people.
That's an extreme situation that's brought up by a woman who knew something that said that she should have disclosed, and I get that. And for you to be able to sit there, admittedly having been a former abuser, trying to do something right, absolutely. My thing is there are many of situations where men are upset for reasons that, you know what, subconsciously, a person who knows that a person loves them and has been there for them through the worst of things and still stood by them, sometimes that's beneficial and sometimes it's self-destructive to the person themselves, because there are times when a demon in the person that's abusing needs to be addressed and the loved ones can't help them. The loved ones can't help them. Now, understand for men, you guys have been taught from day one that there is no such thing as a weak moment for you, that you don't have the right to cry. There's no such thing as rape. There's no such thing as, you know, male abuse, because you guys are supposed to handle your business. Now, if you're talking about a person that doesn't know how to do anything but take it out on the person that's there because they'd rather not deal with what is wrong with them because it's signs of weakness, okay, that will bring it up too. But couple that with everything else and then having no place to go is another problem.
Well, let me...
Hold on, because it's like time's coming down and they've kind of been waiting for a while, so hang on 1 minute. Welcome to the show, caller. Thank you for waiting. You on the air?
Good evening, KD.
Hey, Alfred. How are you? Okay. What is your take on tonight's situation? We're talking about battling domestic violence, stomping out the breeding ground, and we were speaking on the fact that do you believe that community lack of community involvement is one of the reasons why domestic violence, with all the new advocacy and awareness groups, is still spreading and not getting better?
Yeah, I believe yes, because just as much as we put things in place, you haven't fixed the root of the problem. So you keep putting things there to try to deter it, but you must address the problem at the root. And if you don't, then the problem will continue no matter how much you try to add to it, because you got to fix it from where it began from. The thing is, different issues also with just, you know, I believe the biggest thing about it can be weakness. But different men are different, so don't ever think that you just can categorize it in one state, because it's different reason why different people do different things. And when it comes to abuse, it's different reasons for different men. Some men will say that a woman provoked them, and a woman could be jumping in a man's face and all that stuff like that, but that doesn't mean that you have to hit them when it comes down to it. Some will. You have others who won't. You know, it could have been a number of times that the woman jumped up and challenged this man, because the man, through his ego, he wants to feel that he has authority just as well. You have some men who get involved with women, and they have children by them, and they use them as ownership rights and ways to keep that woman in a bind as well, not just a man who's in something that he wants to get out of, but a man who could be using that woman to keep her there as well. It's different.
It's
a lot of different factors and reasons for domestic violence and abuse. You know, so you gotta choose. It's like different issues for each and every different person that approaches that way.
Because
I can look at it like this. My dad. My dad was like, he was an alcoholic himself, like how your ex-husband was. So at certain times, he would make up things. My mother was for him, with him. One time it was out, he seen somebody like try to come up to her and say something to her while he was away, and she let them know, but he seen it. He came up, "What you doing talking to this, you know, N-word and blah, 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 blah." She said, "No, he just came to me. He didn't see you from what I know." So he just came up and complimented me. I told him, I was telling him I had a husband, he's here, you know, stuff like that. He got very upset about that. When he got drunk later on that night, he started arguing with my mother and bust her in the head with my tricycle, which he had to get stitches for and stuff like that. He had anger issues, and those be problems too. You have men who can't control their anger, so they take it out on the woman. They're not in control of their emotions. You know,
there's something else going on with them, Al Tariq, that makes them feel less than whatever. And if there is, I'm sorry, I'm gonna let you continue, that there is no one-size-fits-all treatment for every man or every woman. And one other thing that you had mentioned that I wanted to bring up, and I do want to bring the other panelists in before I let you continue. One other thing, I do not believe that no woman should push a dude, okay, should push a guy who's trying his best to do the right thing, quote-unquote, by not hitting her. okay, and push her luck on that one. I don't think so. I don't think any woman has the right to just hang, you know, hit, or do whatever simply because she's a woman expecting that he won't do anything as a man in return. I think that's absolutely wrong, okay? And I do believe that everybody is held accountable for what they do. I'm going to let you continue, Altavik. Let me just bring the panelists in so they can be on board. Hold on. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, Lady Barnett, and blessings to the entire panel this evening and their families.
All right. Thank you, Deacon. So, you'll be up in just a minute. Go ahead, Altavik.
Yeah, so, you know, being that I grew up around my dad who was like that, and he came up with he didn't feel love. Sometimes it'd be stemming from issues like that. People who love will lash out like that. And not just in a domestic relationship. That's just a small part of the whole big thing. That's why a lot of the children today, like, well, since we're talking about that, when you see the kids, that can be a learned response they learned from their parents even. Because some of us who had parents that be having those knockdown and drag outs. And they start thinking that that's the way to do things. You know, so you gotta be able to teach people why it's wrong. See, society at once upon a time, and I learned this years ago by watching a special, something that they never even talk about, and I haven't seen again since way back when I was pretty young. And they used to allow for men to whip women, kill women, kill women. Women didn't have a whole lot of rights once upon a time. And they used to be, they'd get in the son of the man to kill him, and he wouldn't do no time. People don't remember those things. But you got to look at also how the construct of how so-called religion was set up even back in the day. Because it makes the woman look bad anyway. Oh, she's the one who bit. And that's what a lot of men say. I heard them say, well, it wasn't an Eve that made Adam bite the apple. See, so that's giving you an excuse right there.
Can I make this one point to the gentleman caller? And I don't know whether you have. I'm just going to tell you my experience. I had a lot of theories until I actually got into a group volunteering my time helping with men. So when I came to say that it's all powerlessness, it really was all powerlessness based on my time I dedicated to helping dudes. I run into guys on a regular, like at least once a year. You don't remember me, man. You helped me, man. And if it comes down to powerless. My last thing I'll say about the father thing, like my father, I realized when I had a conversation with him recently, matter of fact, he's from Mississippi. I moved down to Atlanta. I never thought why my father thought the way he thought until I got around Southern males, and then I got to understand. My father put women above himself so much that he ended up hating them. Let me say that again. He put women above himself so much that he ended up back to powerlessness again. He got to see his mother do things he didn't appreciate. Back to powerlessness again. And even Iceberg Slim had the same problem. So I don't begrudge your experience. I'm just sharing with you from a volunteer point. It all comes down to powerlessness per my experience.
Okay, there's a background noise going on, and I need it to come down. Okay, Deacon, I want to give you the mic, and then there's a couple of things I want to address. Go ahead. Deacon?
Yes.
Yeah.
You faded on me for a minute. I didn't hear anything.
Okay. We're speaking on stumping out the breeding ground of domestic violence. And my question is, with all of the new advocacy groups and awareness groups and support networks in place to help stop domestic violence, do you feel that the lack of community involvement, or what else do you feel could be a reason why domestic violence continues to spread?
Okay, I I agree with a lot of things that have been said this evening, and I've been just sitting back and listening. Me myself being a child that had to grow up and had to witness domestic violence on my mother from my father, and not only witness it, came to the point to where I was at a point to kill my father. And to me, the only issue that I have is that we call these violators men. These are not men. They are spineless worms, basically, to be straight up and to be straight out about it. These are not men. So a real man would never, ever put his hand on a woman unless it's in a loving and caring way. That is a true man. Anyone that will violate a woman and bruise her up, how could you put your hands on a woman saying that you love her, but you want to close up her eyes, put stitches in her head, and almost beat her half to death? That's not no man. I don't care how many anger issues that you have or whatever it is that you have, you should be, if you're a man, you should notice that and go get help for yourself. You know, I thank God for my father even right now today, because he showed me how not to treat a woman and how not to be abusive to a woman and in front of my kids. Are you kidding me? That's no way a man. You know, I got issues with that, and then you have people that try and pick up these excuses. Well, she said this or she made me do this, dog. You have the opportunity to walk away from silliness or ignorance. You know, you can't respond negatively to negativeness. You can't get anything positive out of two negatives. No way. So the steps that I feel, just in my opinion, the steps to take against this domestic violence thing, and not only did I have to deal with it with my mother, I've lost two nieces to domestic violence. And violently, one of my nieces was shot 9 times with a 9 millimeter. You know, point blank. My other niece was stabbed to death 37 times in front of her kids. The oldest one was 4 years old.
Oh, I love it.
You know, and then you want me to listen to somebody calling somebody that committed a crime like this a man? That's not no man. There's no way. That's not no man. And oh my goodness, Lord, help me. You have to forgive me because I get so emotional about this situation because, my goodness.
Can I share a little solution? I do agree with the caller. The people who do it are children. They're emotional, silly children who want to hurt something. There used to be a time when dudes had a warrior code. You used to want to fight the biggest dude in the room. Now, when you got these beta males and beta women, they want to fight the people that they know ain't going to hit back. Like, I've even had little women slap their big husband because they know he ain't going to hit her back. So she just repeatedly slaps him to the point where this one deacon's son came to counseling. He said, "Dad, you need to leave before mama kills you." That's how serious it gets. But even with that said, let me shock the whole room by saying this. As a person who, again, used to be domestic abuser when I was 16, tried to get help for myself, didn't see it out there with the programs, you know why it still exists? Because majority of us on the panel don't know the judge who's running right now in our city what their stance on domestic violence is. We don't vote locally. And until we start understanding what this judge is going to do in that situation and what that judge is going to do in that situation, it's going to continue. Because a lot of these judges are down for the money. And if I can sit up here and create a revolving door, then I get kudos. The people over here in the family thing are happy. People over here, if you know that this particular judge sends people to a program, that's who you should vote for. You should get out. Hey, job, I'm going to be late tomorrow. I'm going to get out here and vote locally. But until we start doing those things, we are just as much responsible for this stuff happening as the idiot child, Wom, that the brother said, who does it. We got to get it fixed as a community.
Absolutely, and I believe that they have to stop. I see you, caller. I'll bring you in a minute. I do believe that, and I wanted to address a couple of things. There's another part of the breeding ground that starts a lot younger, even maybe with you, Q, that is also a big aspect before we even get to new awareness programs and people having to be sent to programs. We have too many damn parents. Some of them are cultural in disbelief. That allow their grown-ass children, okay, to not have accountability. They're bailing them out when they should be not enabling them. They're protecting them even when they're watching this horrible stuff go down. They're blaming the victims of their children and supporting them in this aspect of it to show love for their kids. I see a lot of cultural moms in particular, and mothers are a whole lot more responsible for this with their sons than you really see mothers, fathers with their daughters. Or fathers.
Wait. You just said a strange word, accountability. What is that? That's not a black community word. We don't use that. It's not any community word,
I'll honestly tell you, because you can say that about black people the same way you can say the same thing about these high-powered white people that are out there knowing that their sons or daughters just went out there and rolled somebody over with their car, got drunk and shot somebody in a racist rage. And instead of them allowing the law to come down on them, they'll hire a high-powered lawyer and protect their children, send them off to Switzerland somewhere till everything blows over, quote, end quote. So it's not just the black community.
Well,
but since this is a pro-black show, we definitely have to address that aspect for our community. Because you know what? We wind up having this one-size-fits-all mentality and wind up having guys that grow up or women that grow up believing that everything is about, you know what, they just want to leave. You know what, they just don't know what to do with it. You know what, they just are dealing with this and that this way. The problem is some of these bullies, because they usually start off as bullies in school and then grow up to become abusers, were not taught what's wrong with you, that you're worth something. Something's obviously going on with you. Some kids can't be helped. Some people are just born bad. Okay, but what happened? What happened? What happened to that kid that loved G.I. Joe and just wanted to play with everybody that turned this kid into somebody who thinks like a criminal? What happened?
Hmm.
You're right. We should be out there voting locally for our damn officials. We should be. We should be. But you know what? Everybody is not about trying to leave their wife or leave their husband. There are guys that are out there that love their kids and their wives very much, but you know what? They can't get a job. They did something as a kid that should have long been expunged and allowed for him to learn and rehab from it. But that wouldn't happen because maybe his skin color was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his class of neighborhood wasn't too acceptable.
Mm.
Okay, so you know what? What the hell can he do? He's looking at his kid go hungry. His wife is telling him, we need to get something done. She's not putting him down. She's just telling him, we need food. He knows this, can't do anything, doesn't know how to handle not being able to do anything. Because guess what? All the hell he's ever been told is that you're a man. You're supposed to solve problems. You're not supposed to cry about it. You just got to stop whining. Everybody, male or female, has the right to have a breakdown moment, but there should be the teaching in place and the support in place to say, now you broke down, you got it out your system, let's see what we can do or what you do have. We have to stop telling them that they have to get out there and be on the mountaintop in order to be deemed successful. We have to stop deglorifying a maintenance job for now and help them fix the instant fix while they work on completely healing the wound. That is a problem. And we can't have guys walking around telling guys, you're just whining like some little punk out there. We can't have guys telling them that their wives are not allowed to have an angry opinion about something because that makes them look like a fool or a key-whipped person. We can't do that because the first thing that they're going to think is, you know what, I want to leave. But we can teach our sons and daughters, look, if you feel that you're at the point where all you can do at this moment is fight or hit somebody, then maybe you should remove yourself from the situation to get yourself together if you're the one hitting. Or she needs to realize what she had and the way she's doing things is not proper. The first thing we're not supposed to be teaching them is how the hell to walk away and leave something that's supposed to be a unified situation behind because they don't know how to handle an adversity. One second, because there's not much time and there's a panelist waiting in. Welcome to the show, Formula on the Air.
Hey, good evening, Katie. Panelist, this is Professor Carlton Jones.
Hey, Professor. What's up?
Yeah, hey, what's going on, man? That show's like crack, man. I don't know. I was supposed to take the night off and handle some personal business, but, you know, I couldn't help myself from wanting to chime in for just a second. You know, growing up in the house and seeing domestic violence, and I think this, first of all, this is way too common, a conversation that we have or don't have, but we can all relate to in some way, shape, or form. You know, I can recall the violence spreading not just from grandparents and who were having an argument or a fight, but even, you know, uncles, aunts. I can recall times where there were battle royals in my living room, and then as a child, sitting upstairs at the top step praying that nobody got killed. You know, and seeing those things happen, it's an experience that scars you as a child. And it takes a lot of time to deal with that internally, especially if you never received therapy for it. So, you know, you have to start looking into where it's coming from. And I believe it's Keith, right? That's on the phone that was talking about the powerlessness that comes from that's one of the main driving forces behind the abuses that take place. And I think that that's a real important thing to look at because we're talking about people who are probably coming into their midlife times, and we all know about the midlife crisis and so forth. And that's the time when you really look back on your life and see, you know, what have you achieved? Where are you going in life? What does the rest of your life have for you? And a lot of times, even in the families that I counsel, I see a lot of destructive things going on within those homes because people are frustrated with where they are in life and they don't feel as though they have empowered to do anything about it. But the one thing they feel empowered about is what goes on under that roof. And the one thing they say was, damn it, the whole world is giving me the ass to kiss, and I'll be damned if I have to deal with anything up in this house. And that's a lot of what I see. I see a lot of people who can't let go in some instances. Some people who feel as though they're losing their loved one because of other situations that are going on in their lives. So it's a complex situation that's going to take a complex solution because they're just like I heard Altari say earlier, there are many different roads that leads to domestic violence. And we need to be sure to observe all of them because this whole idea of men putting their hands on women, y'all know I'm going to go here. This is a cultural thing. Cultural thing. This is a culture. This goes back to the caveman clubbing a woman and dragging her home by her head. You know what I'm saying? This is a culture. This is not of our culture, but we have adopted so many negative aspects of the dominant culture that now it's ingrained in us because, you know, you see it. You see it being relived. You see it being rewritten. You see it every day. And we need to try to focus because when you go back to our homeland, the woman was revered. And we need to start trying to adopt some more of those African principles in our communities because that's where our spiritual relief comes in. That's where we get our spiritual refillment. And that's why we have so much turmoil because we're internalizing somebody else's culture, and it doesn't sound right with our spirit.
Right.
When you are dealing with the idea that property and animals have more worth and value than a human being, that your wife is considered property and not an equal, that your children are third in line when it comes down to a level of importance, okay, you have a problem. And that needs to be addressed. You're right, Al Tariq, and you're definitely right, Professor. There are many sub-avenues that lead to the destination of domestic violence. It's not a one-size-fits-all treatment for all situations. There are many good people that are out there who are angry and hurt and don't know how to deal with it. Because you know what? Dealing with it already or knowing that there's something in it that they may have done to contribute to it when they wouldn't have done it otherwise is already a problem for them. So now you got to deal with that. There's many subconscious problems that go on. Sometimes love isn't enough in some areas. But that doesn't mean that you ostracize love because it's not enough at that moment. It means you learn how to use that love and figure out how you can make it better by addressing your problem. Men and women are not taught accountability. Many parents are out there saying, if I let my son go to jail for hitting his wife, I'm not being a good parent.
That's BS.
Okay, that is BS, Deacon, but a lot of these parents are, for whatever their problems are. You know what? I'm going to tell you this. There's a Caribbean couple that I know. Well, the one of them is Caribbean. And that mother believes that standing by her son when she watched him beat not one, not two, but three wives or three partners in their life, not realizing that there's a damn pattern, not with the people that your son is hurting, but with your son. That he's yelling and screaming to get what he wants, even at the expense of disrespecting you, his mother. Why? Because she had to leave him in his country, so that she can get immigration status turned into citizenship to allow her power to bring him to America. And instead of taking over her role as a mother, she became his friend when he got here. He was 13. He wasn't a man. It wasn't too late to do what she had to do. He became his friend. So with that being said, he got equality and access to certain things that he should have been kept in a child's place with, and that never happened. So what happened was he wanted to get married at 17. She was like, absolutely not. He was like, well, the hell with you. I'm going to go do it anyway. I'll get it done. I know to go to other states. Guess what happened? Rather than lose her son, her surrogate boyfriend, what she decided to do was to allow him to marry. Now, what happened was, at 17, what the hell could he possibly do to support a wife? You know what he did? She allowed him to feel like he was the best thing since sliced bread, so he was too good to go into an entry-level job, to start showing responsibility to take care of this wife he forced her to allow him to have. And you know what happened? They had to live in her spare room in her apartment, and you know what happened? She watched him beat the hell out of her every single day. Every day. She went to her mother-in-law, please, your son is beating me. You see this. She wouldn't call the cops. She's just busy screaming, stop it, don't do that. And you know what happened? One day this wife got up, because every single day, her and the mother-in-law took the same train to their respective jobs, and she never came back. And you know what happened to her son? He just cried because his possession was lost. And you know what she did? She called the wife and said to the wife, how could you make my son cry like this?
What?
Yeah. Wait.
That's
now,
typical.
Hold on.
Very typical.
We ain't done yet. We're not done yet. Now, she had a boyfriend at the time who acted in the role of this boy's father, loved him enough, and he told them, I understand you hurt, son, but understand the role you played in making this happen. What you're going to do? How are you going to learn from there? Now, that boyfriend passed away. So we're back down to mom and son again, right? Okay, well, son already got off yelling and screaming and bullying his mama around. Let's go to the next girlfriend in line. Now he don't know how to respect or commit himself or not cheat or not hit or not go crazy when he keeps taking these toys off the shelf, breaking their heads, throwing them on the floor, but don't want anybody else to pick them up and care for them. But Mama's doing it. Mama's putting the toys back, with the heads back on the toys, putting it back on the shelf, and he's mad that they're broken. And she's like, I know, son, those dastardly toys, they're just broken. They have what, the nerve of them to be breaking on them. Never mind the fact that he's tossing them everywhere and stomping on them. The nerve of those toys to break. That's the mentality she gave this idiot. So now let's go to the next thing. He goes now and he finally gets another wife-like factor in his life. Has a large family of none of which he can connect with together. None of which he can look at and love. None of which he can look at past them being in the role of a possession that belongs to him. Okay? Guess what this mother is doing? Allowing that one to beat his so-called wife. Allowing that one to sit there and abuse his children verbally, actually. He's not really sitting there and doing anything wrong, you know, in terms of hitting. But what he is doing is not spending time with his children. That's the mother's job. He's not doing anything but proving that his sperm worked before he was 30. That was his ultimate goal, to have a child before he was 30. Not to love and raise that child, but just to have one. What happens next? He's beating that wife. He's cheating on that wife. He's soliciting that wife. He's having his mother by there and getting into their personal bedroom business. And you know what that mother did? When this wife went and took an order of protection out on him, she sat in the courtroom and told her grandchildren that they were lying little bastards for sitting up there lying on her baby. Wow. Her words. Her words.
Wow.
So what does he do? Ha, order of protection. What does that mean? You're the one that told me not to take care of my kids. The law says I can't come near you.
You know what he did?
He allowed him to stay on her couch and pretend he couldn't work, so he dodged a child support order for 4 years. Now, he's so mad because all of his options are out. He has no more lives. He has no more places to hide because every person he goes to lay up with, he beats and gets kicked out. Back to his mama's house. And guess what? He don't like the way she goes to sleep at 8 o'clock because she's past her retirement age and she has to shut down the house at 8 p.m. because he's a drinker and a partier, not supporting his children on her couch. So guess what? He's going back to the ex-wife now and making her life miserable, saying that he has the right to be there because the city is making him go to jail if he doesn't pay child support. And guess what the grandmother told her grandchildren on a visit? Your mother was wrong for her leaving your father. Breeding ground, anyone?
We'll see. Here's my thing on that, and I'll keep mine under 30 seconds. Very ridiculous. Breeding ground, you're absolutely right. But this is why I say to people, if that had been a man raising his daughter, he would have been checked by the state so many times. So many times on the health of that girl, the mental stability of that girl. Now, not in every case, but in most. Ladies, for some reason, not all, they have this entitlement that, hey, look, I'm not going to be held accountable. However this kid grows up, he grows up. But I've seen guys with raising their daughter, raising their son, the state is on their butt on how this kid gets raised.
Now, I'm not sure what angle you're going on to, but I'm going to tell you something, okay? Mothers have been single moms for quite some time and do it all. The black woman in particular has been blamed for everything from nuclear war to bad troops in Iraq to gay boys growing up by their own black men. And that is a conditional situation from outside forces forcing our men to think differently. But let me explain this to you. Men have been given entitlement to stuff that they don't have entitlement to just as much. Because let me explain to you what I mean. The boys will be boys damn scenario. The blanket that they get for being in the army and raping women, it's a little sexual indiscretion. We can't stop that from having our boys go to college. We can't stop that from having them be a prominent career. Let them get this girl pregnant. We'll put the baby and the mother away so he can grow up and be a senator while she becomes a teen mother. Don't give me that. That is just that women are not held accountable. Are you kidding me? I'm a single mother who can tell you that for all the things I've gone through raising 7 by myself, where he was accountable for certain things and managed to skate away. That for the help I've had to ask for, in addition to what I'm already doing, I've had to jump through more hoops than he ever had to. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not for women just because I'm a woman. I'm not for blacks just because I'm a black. Right is right and wrong is wrong. I believe women are just as accountable for stuff that they do as a man is. I believe if a woman commits a crime, she needs to go to jail if she was proven to have done it without it being some self-defense, real self-defense situation. But accountability goes all ways. An abuser has a damn problem. Okay, be it that he feels powerless, he was bullied as a kid and didn't fight back, so now he has to fight back on somebody he feels that he can beat up on. Same with a woman. She has a problem with men, so she's going to hurt them before they hurt her. That's issues that need to be dealt with. And if the damn community that's supposed to be involved, and I'm not just talking advocacy groups, I'm talking the next-door neighbors that once did. I'm talking about the fathers and mothers that are still in their lives with something to say. Don't do their damn part. We're not going to go anywhere. And that's as a society on the whole, as well as our black community.
And I'm not suggesting males against females. I'm simply suggesting how we as a community judge who we want to hold accountable. I'm putting the onus on the community, how the community wants to judge who we hold accountable. Not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying that in order for us to get resolution, per your point, everybody has to be accountable at every phase.
Before this broken state of us that we've either allowed ourselves to get into or we're forced into starts to be a community, we first need to start doing our individual parts in a community, starting with our children, starting with putting the teachers accountable, starting with not allowing them to take away the fallback that some of these children have to get this anger out, starting with not using something that's supposed to be a helpful situation as a judgment situation, starting with people sending people into your damn homes, minding businesses that they don't have any business minding while ignoring what they should be taking care of and us sitting back and allowing. That's where it all starts. Start nipping the small problems in the bud before it becomes a big hole in the roof.
Yeah. Katie,
stop having women be blamed for everything when guys don't know how to let women dress the way they want without having to give in to their erections. Stop having women think that that's the way to go out there and make it in the world, is to use their bodies. How about we do that for a change?
Very true. Men, and I know the brother's going to speak, but men, and I say this on my show all the time, men have to get to the point where they stop making so many excuses for what is happening to them or is not happening. Men got to let go all these excuses. But go ahead.
I agree with you, but not to the point of them being in some macho male, alpha male situation. I agree that after, but everybody, and I don't care if it's male or female, has a right to break down and release. And I'll say that. Whatever the hell it takes, you do what you got to do and then you get back on your game. But I don't want men feeling that them breaking down means they're weak. That them going away and having to think things through without needing to have a substitute woman in their bed to prove that they're men. Why the hell do women or people that are victimized have to go through their pain and get to be a survivor while men have to have Band-Aids in the process? Why do all these victimizers get to rip apart their victims and those people have to deal with their bleeding wounds and walk through it, make it through, figure out how to survive while the people who are doing it to them get to skate and get to have some fillers and buffers? Why does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Why does that happen?
Well, Katie, you said about a few things, and I know the show is winding down. One of the things that we talked that you said, and, you know, I always have an issue with the whole, you know, right is right thing, because I don't always agree with that, because I think that culturally we deal with too much as it is, and for us to develop that type of sense of morality is the reason why we struggle as a community, because no other community functions like that. You know, as you just said, you know, you were talking about how in a white community where they don't hold themselves accountable, how they try to always avoid getting caught, hitting runs, all different things. So I think that's one aspect that needs to be further evaluated at some point. But another thing is we do need to be more like men. And I think the reason why we have so many issues with the men, and I was talking to a brother about this earlier, is because when you have men that are raised by women, they carry that feminine energy with them. And I'm not saying it's always a bad thing, but when you have males carrying feminine energy with them, they handle their situations like with that same feminine energy. And when you talk about holding grudges and holding on to feelings, well, when you talk to men, most men don't do that. You know, but when you talk to a lot of these feminized brothers who want to go around and put their hands on women and so forth, a lot of those brothers have been raised by mothers who enabled them. And that feminine, that's that arguing in the street, that's that holding on the grudge, that's I'm going to kill you, I'm not letting go of an ass-whooping type of thing. And a lot of that is a problem. But I think the number one problem is we don't love who we are. And I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the individual.
Yeah.
Because we go into relationships thinking that person's going to complete me. Not that I'm complete, she's complete, and we're going to make something bigger together. You know what I'm saying? So people don't let go because a lot of times when they go into those situations, they believe that they're letting go a piece of them. And that's mine now. You know, my woman, my this, my that, you know, becomes property. And it's no longer about love. It's about an obsession of something that you want to take and maintain control over. And I tell a lot of people in a heartbeat, you know, we need to learn how to love ourselves and love ourselves enough to let go of other things early enough so that we don't become parts of those cycles that recur at higher and higher frequencies the longer we stay in those relationships, the longer you stay in those commitments. Because the longer you stick around, it's like a mouse trying to get off a sticky track. You know, roll around in that track, and eventually, first they had your tail. Now they got your leg. Now they got your whole body, and you're stuck. You know what I'm saying? And you're stuck, and you stay there, and you're tortured, and you die. And that's why we need to start teaching. We need to have classes where we're showing where these traits happen early on. Get the hell out. You know, love somebody from a distance and love them until they can learn to love themselves. But love yourself enough to protect yourself and protect your children. Because the women in these situations, the men in these situations aren't the only casualties. You know, we have a lot of collateral damage that occurred because two people had an issue with how they want to handle their relationships.
Absolutely, Professor. Absolutely, 100%. And you all alluded to exactly what I said. Community, lack of community involvement is definitely a breeding ground. Okay, and the community is not just outside of your gates. It's in your homes. It's in your neighborhood. It's in your mentality. It's in your personal demons. And if you are going to sit there and say that I'm always right, that it's you, that you're the reason why, that I hate you because the sun, the moon, and the planets were not aligned that night. You know what? If you hadn't have come home in a red dress, I wouldn't have saw red like a bull. Okay? If we don't stop the art of deflection, if we don't stop teaching our children, hey, handle your business, without telling them how it should be handled, we're not going to get anywhere. Now, we're down to our last 2 minutes. I do thank you, and Professor, thank you for coming. I know you were exhausted and busy, but I appreciate all of you coming in, and Q, I think, dropped off. But we're going to continue part two tomorrow night. Same bat time, same bat channel, same bat station, same old me, and we'll be here. So until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, and I will see you here tomorrow night. Have a good night. God bless.
All right, back at you.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Blessings to all your families.
Likewise.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.